sportsman's paradise. That's where we were headed. A wonderful place where fighting fish turn the calm waters of the Pacific into an explosive arena that takes on the aspect of a seagoing rodeo. However, I'm getting ahead of my story. Actually, it began at the airport in Los Angeles. Three of us had been making fishing plans for months. While we waited for Charlie to fly in from New York, I showed John that I'd thought of everything. Charlie was just as excited as we were. Before you could say Baja California, we were rolling down the runway headed south of the border. The wintry snow-capped peaks of California were left behind. And we were soon cruising down the Mexican coast towards our Baja holiday. It wasn't long before we dropped down out of a tropical sky onto the airstrip at Palmilla. This is an isolated and beautiful resort at the southern tip of Baja California, where nature extends its welcome to the visiting sportsman. It was a little too late to get out on the Gulf or off to the lake the first day, but there was nothing to keep us from looking over the ocean arena where we knew the big fish were waiting for us. That night, we checked our gear and got everything ready for the battle we hoped would be ahead. Sleep didn't come easy, for the sound of the breakers stirred our senses with anticipation of the fun ahead. Next morning, the sun came up with the promise of a beautiful day. We got through breakfast like kids on Christmas morning and headed for the boats. The native crew must have been up earlier than we were because they already had the boats squared away, ready to go. It was a chamber of commerce sort of day. Weather, perfect. As we cruised out across the blue water, Pablo was busy rigging the bait. These lads really know what a hungry fish is hungry for. While this was going on, I glanced around and noticed the skipper was using a Ben-Hur technique to jockey our waterborne chariot. Suddenly, we saw a dark fin sliding through the water, cutting the surface like a greased knife. Then he was on the bait. A solid strike. Right away, I found I was hooked up with a champ. Fought each other with all the strength and skill we had. He leaped, bucked, jackknifed, and skidded across the water on the fringe of his tail fin. Thank you. it's easy to understand why the marlin is known as the acrobat of the sea. It gets its name from its bill or sword that resembles a seaman's marlin spike. So it's called a marlin or spike fish. To the real fisherman, the thrill is in the battle, not in bringing back the fish. The conservation of our wildlife is not only a sporting gesture to a worthy opponent, but also helps to assure good fishing in the years ahead. That's why we always cut them loose to roam the sea again, to propagate more of their fighting stock for the sport of future fishermen. By now, the tropical sun was getting a little warm, so we put on some protection while Pablo fixed the bait for the next battle. It wasn't long before we were back in action. It was a battle royal as John and the big fish fought at opposite ends of the line. Hooking into a marlin is like tangling with a small hurricane. It's one of the toughest and most thrilling fishing experiences for the big game angler. These seagoing fighters can weigh as much as several hundred pounds. Pacific Coast marlin range from the Channel Islands of California south. They're seldom found in water colder than 70 degrees. A nearsighted seagull drifted down for a quick snack and almost wound up with a stiletto through its gizzard. John played the marlin for over an hour. His arms were about to come out of their sockets. John was so tired, he was glad to see that one swim away. That was it for the first day, and Pablo ran up the marlin flags as we headed for the beach. After cleaning up, we relaxed in the garden and tried to get the kinks out of our muscles while listening to the Latin rhythms of the Palmia Philharmonic.
Guadalajara.
following day, we flipped a coin to decide what we'd do. I won and suggested skin diving. John and I backed into the water that was warm and clear as crystal. It's amazing the things you can see underwater. The odd-shaped coral. And all the fish that don't seem to mind strangers. In and out of the water all day, and got dressed just in time to watch the changing colors of the tropical sunset. While we were admiring the setting sun, the cooks were working another miracle in the kitchen. Had appetites like a bear coming out of hibernation. Not only was the meal wonderful, but the service was excellent. And of course, there was music by our strolling troubadours, the Pamilla Philharmonic, who filled the room with songs of old Mexico. Cuando... Before we started off to bed, Ramon told us about the legend of Neptune. If you're looking for luck, the thing to do is pay your respects to Neptune before you invade his kingdom. The tradition is to stand beside the statue of Neptune and toss a silver peso as far as you can. If it clears the sand and lands in the water, you'll have good luck with tomorrow's fishing. Well, John missed. So did Charlie. It was up to me to save the day. I carefully checked the breeze to correct for wind drift. I made it! We didn't really believe it would make any difference in our fishing. Still, you never know. The early morning sun rose out of a quiet sea and promised another beautiful day. We wanted an early start to try our luck on smaller fish close to the shore, but there was no frantic rush for the breakfast we offered. Finally, John hooked into a rooster fish with its high, jagged comb. Rough looking, but good eating. A little later, a Sierra mackerel rose to the bait. This action wasn't very exciting after those marlin. So we pulled in our light tackle and tally-hoed for the big challenge in the deep waters. The skipper had a real pedestrian approach to the art of navigation. As we approached Cape San Lucas, southernmost point of Baja California, the luck of Neptune started working. For more than an hour, the marlin exploded over the salt water, bucking, sunfishing, sounding and leaping. And it sure wasn't any rest cure on the other end of the line. Finny friend had had enough and was brought alongside. We cut him loose so he could live to fight another day. And here comes dinner. Sea-going green turtles, called kawama by the Mexicans. They abound in these waters and are easy to catch. They can live for weeks without food or water and will weigh up to 500 pounds. That's how Columbus solved the fresh meat problem for his crew. The turtle steaks we had that night proved that Columbus was as capable a gourmet as he was an explorer. I don't know whether to credit King Neptune for a little Neptunic help, but Charlie hooked into a spectacular sailfish. The sailfish is a relative of the marlin, although not quite so large. It is probably the Olympic champ of all sea dwellers. Timed with a stopwatch, sailfish have covered 100 yards in 3 seconds, about 68 miles an hour. And they have been known to jump across 40 feet of water. Nobody seems to know exactly what the function of the sail is, although when the fish is basking near the surface of the water, it keeps the sail stretched out as though to absorb the sun's rays or to serve as kind of a radar or sense organ. Some fishermen say that the sail acts as a brake to ease the landing when this speed king makes one of its tremendous broad jumps and crashes back into the water. When the sailfish is swimming, the great sail folds up like a fan and is tucked neatly into a convenient slot in the fish's back. This is one of the most picturesque of all fish and a prize trophy for any fisherman. The Mexicans call it aguja volador, the flying needle. By the time we cut the sailfish free, we'd had it. We returned to shore with flags flying and hardly an unused muscle in our bodies. After dinner, the musicians filled the night with more Latin melodies. But after the day's workout, we were ready for bed. You could say that old King Neptune had sure given us a run for our money. That is, if you're superstitious. Oh, boy. What was it Will Shakespeare said? To sleep? Perchance to dream? Well, I don't know what Will dreamed about. But as for us, the night was filled with marlin whipping the waters to foam. and sailfish leaping across the waves. That was a dream we wanted to hang on to. But even when it is ended, when our Baja holiday is over, it will still be here, south of the border, whenever we return. So it's not farewell, but hasta la vista, until we meet again.